Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were to tell your detailed life story on just one page, one piece of paper, what would you put? What events might you note? What things would you tell? What might you leave out or not even give a mention? What period or periods of your life would you cover? And as you think about this for a moment, would you put anything twice? Would you mention certain events twice, if any, with such limited space? You might if it was important. You might if it was that important, but probably not given the space requirements. The evangelist Luke has a daunting task ahead of him. Record over 25 years of church history in one single book. And as a result, he puts in the book of Acts what is key and critical. And to St. Luke, our Acts reading of Peter's vision is so, so important. It's so important to Luke that he records it twice. Luke doesn't ultimately tell us what happens to Paul. He doesn't give us details about the other apostles' missionary journeys. He doesn't even really talk about Paul's last one. But he records Peter's vision and preaching to the Gentiles twice. Why? This event is that important to him. To him, it's a message that the church both then and today still needs to hear. And what is that message? God's salvation is for all people. Peter's vision and his preaching shows that. Luke cannot stress that enough, so he tells us the same story twice, back to back nonetheless, in chapters 10 to 11. He wants us to get this. God's salvation is for all people. And so to teach Peter and us this point, God gives Peter a miraculous vision. Luke tells us that the report goes throughout all of Judea that the Gentiles, the non-Jews, have received the word of God and became believers. They received the Holy Spirit and were baptized. Good news, right? New believers, the gospel out into all the world, God gifts given, His word is proclaimed, people are baptized. Good news, right? To some, not so much. This act created a stir and a commotion and a scandal in Jerusalem. The circumcision party, those who insisted on circumcision with saving faith, were terribly bothered and offended. They wondered, how could Peter not make this requirement? How could they not become Jews? These people were utterly scandalized. So when Peter goes to Jerusalem, they criticize him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." You can hear their horror and disgust. Jews and Gentiles do not associate with each other. The Jews believed it was unlawful and improper to interact and eat with Gentiles. They believed Jews should not associate or visit or stay in the home of anyone of another nation. Peter should have refused their invitation. The Jews saw the Gentiles as unclean and unholy. They believed they were outside of God's mercy. And among strict Jews, it was even debated if one could or should help a Gentile woman give birth. Why? Because it meant another Gentile came in to the world. Their complaint said, "Peter, what you did was wrong. This is not allowed. They're not part of the club or God's family." But remember, God's salvation is for all. And Luke wants us to know that. And so, as if Peter is on trial, he begins to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He doesn't argue, but he simply tells them what had happened. He says, "I was praying in Joppa and received a vision. And in this vision, I saw something like a great sheet descending down, being let down by heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. And as I looked closer at it, I observed there were animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds. These animals were all unclean, and I've never ate any of them in my entire life. And as I saw this, I heard a voice which I recognized to be God's that said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I protested. I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing is ever common or unclean has ever entered into my mouth." But the voice told me again, "What God has made clean, do not call common." Again, I protested, and again, this exchange happened once more. And on the third time, the sheet went back up into heaven. There's no doubt that God's point is made. What once was common and unclean is now no more. There are no more distinctions. And God confirms this point next through others. Once the vision ends, Peter wants to grab our attention, so he says, "Behold." This is like a spotlight in a play or musical when it focuses in on someone giving that speech or that musical solo. When you see that happening, your eye is drawn in and told to focus on them. And that's what Peter does. He says, "Once the vision ended, behold, three Gentile men mysteriously arrive at my door asking for me. And knowing they are unclean, interactions with them are forbidden," he's puzzled. What should he do? Should he go with? Should he not? But the Spirit intervenes and says, "Go with them and make no distinctions." And just having been told to make no distinctions for food, he is now to make no distinctions for people. Age, race, ethnicity, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he's to eat or stay with them. He's to make no distinction, Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter. That's in the past. What God has called clean, Peter is not to call unclean. And so Peter says, "I took six others with me who saw these things, and we went with those men to Caesarea. And when we got there, the man who sent us told us an angel said to him, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.'" What a shock that must have been to Peter. Them, dirty, unclean, unholy Gentiles, they too are included. They're not separated or dismissed. They're not turned away, but welcomed into God's family, to God's people in Christ. God confirms this point through others and now confirms it himself. Peter says, "I preach to them." What did he say? Chapter 10 tells us he proclaims Jesus was anointed with power in the Holy Spirit, that he went around undoing the effects of sin and the devil through his preaching and his power. But despite this, they put him to death on a tree. But God raised him from the dead 3 days later and made the apostles witnesses of this. And God then sent them, Peter said, as witnesses of this proclamation that everyone who believes in him has forgiveness of sins through his name. Did you catch Peter's little word there? Did you catch that word? Everyone. This is a message for all. It's not just for the seemingly perfect and pristine, but for the dregs, the despised, the discouraged, and the dejected. It's for the ordinary and oppressed. It's for the significant and the small, the worriers and the weak. It's for the sinful. This message isn't just for Jews, but for Germans and Scandinavians and Africans, Minnesotans and the like. It's for all people. No one's left out. There's no luck of the draw for grace. It's not based on value or race or on what I will do or can do. It's given to all who believe. He died for all. His salvation and forgiveness is for everyone through Christ, because of Christ. And God then drives the point home himself. Peter says, as he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on these people. He came to them through his word. They were given the same thing as those first Jewish believers. There's no difference. All are given the same redemption, faith, grace, inheritance, rights as sons and daughters, and same forgiveness. They were given the same baptism, the one that unites us to Christ in his death and resurrection. God expanded his church to the Gentiles. He opened the door to all people. He opens it to you. And realizing this, Peter says, if God then gave the same gift to them as he gave to us, who is I that I could stand in God's way? He gets it. And how did those Jews first respond to this? First, silence, then praise. God gave his salvation out and made no distinctions. No wonder Luke records this story twice. It's a story that he wants us and the church for all time to get. But if you were like Peter, we can always repeat this a third time, but for today, I think twice will suffice. In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.